a bit of bloody just been the whole time, you know?
Welcome to the FTN Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined tonight by Ricky Addington.
I almost forgot how the mute button worked.
Red Powell and Adam Camilleri.
Hello, hello.
Man, it's so good to have Ricky back.
Well, you know, it was touch and go, but Paul called me and he said, we want you back on the show. And I said, okay, but you're going to have to increase my pay. So Paul actually increased my salary by 300%. So I'm now the highest paid member of the show at $0. So
big moves get made. Yeah, moves, big contracts.
But, you know, I signed the contract and I'm locked in and I'm happy to continue another season with this team.
We are the Bow Lost Souls podcast. We're going to talk about Blood Angels a lot this episode. I mean, I know a lot of people are probably thinking, well, you know, this episode?
Yes. Shocking.
Yeah, but on the show, I've got a segment to include with Stephen Box, and I've got a vendor segment. So this is the time of year I know where it's like a giving season, you know. And sometimes you want to get some gifts on the cheap. Want to bring on one of my vendors, the sponsors, to talk about it. Talk about what they're offering. They have a new website. Check it out if you haven't already. And then also talking about Nova Open Charitable Foundation that we're doing some work for coming up on Friday. I hope to have this episode out before then.
Nice. Talking about Christmas gifts, can I ask y'all a question real quick while we're on that? Do you all actually, does your family actually get you Warhammer stuff that you ask for Christmas? Because I always get told you're on your own with that stuff.
It's so much easier just to get stuff for yourself. That's, it really is. Unless you know, like I could go and pick out something for you, for instance. You know, I know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because I've seen how terrible your army lists are. I know what they
Oof. Need. That's hurtful, but accurate.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's, unless you give a specific list, you know, like it's best to just do your own Warhammer shopping, I think.
Yeah. Cash is key in here. Just get cash.
So I can't speak to how other people and other dynamics are in other hobby groups, but I'm pretty close with a lot of the partners and family members of my close hobby group. And so, well, like, I think a couple of years back for a wedding present, a mate's fiance like hit us all up and said, what am I getting in present, wedding present? What am I doing? Blah, 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 blah. And we're like, go to Forge World. There's a thing called a Spartan assault tank. Getting that. And he lost his freaking mind. Yeah. And that kind of, I love that kind of stuff. Get in with your, you know, if you're not that close with your hobby group, so be it. But, you know, there are things you can do. And I just like that, you know, making sure one of my mates is getting something he really wants.
Yeah. Well, I think I'll just give my wife's number to you guys. And, you know, you all just low key text her.
Nothing but Dark Vengeance chaplains. Just like, oh, no, librarians. Just like 78 Dark Vengeance librarians.
Yeah, and obscene.
That's all you get. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird, but he asked for 78 of those. It's weird.
I mean, you're with him. You know his fetishes as well as we all do, but you know, 78 Dark Vengeance.
Yeah. Well, we've said it for years. He's a weird guy, but that's what he was. Man knows what he was.
Anybody that's been playing Blood Angels for a little while can rest assured that Sanguinary Guard are still good.
Better than still good.
Yeah.
Good.
Far better than still good.
An obnoxious unit. And this is, like, I know a lot of people are going down the full codex and stuff. And actually, I assisted Adam with that on his show.
Yeah. Lucky enough to grab, me and Pearl both wanted both part of the Nova Charity stream that's happening this weekend. And lucky enough to be part of that charitable fund and charitable works that they do, the big raffle they've got coming down. Is it this Friday night or is this Friday midday for you guys?
It's Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern time is when it kicks off.
And we're going for a good couple of hours, a bunch of amazing interviews and things going down. But because of that, I pulled some strings and managed to get Paul on my show to do not only to spruik that, but also help me with my review of the Blood Angels Codex.
And
so anybody looking for that deep dive, that'll be out on Thursday. But yeah, that should be a little, man, a good time.
Yeah, and a real enjoyable time recording it. And of course, I'm, you know, never going to not want to talk about Blood Angels. If lead off with the book is gorgeous. So in the interior of the book, there's just a ton of, some of the art is art you've seen before, but the, you know, the feel and the layout of the book is done in an extremely extreme Blood Angel way. Like, there's all the icons and motifs, nice colors of the book, artistry. It just feels and looks really good. And it made me feel good flipping through it and reading it and looking at all the pages. And
yeah, that's fair.
I would say in the past, like, codexes, you know, they haven't always been this good. I mean, they've been cool. Of course, they've been cool. They've had pictures of painted miniatures, some lore and stuff, but they've been almost, you know, I don't want just not super tangible, I think. But now I think we were moving into that where I feel much better about the stuff in these books. And this is no disappointment here with the Blood Angels. I don't know where we want to start. Basically, I think that it's awesome that you can spend points and upgrade characters to the Death Company.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. The GW's application of those buy-in, the extra souped up buy-ins. It's no longer CP, like everyone to be aware. And this all started with the Space Marines getting their Super Chappy Apoth, et cetera, Master of Sanctity. Funny that they found a way to give this mechanic to Blood Angels, but they didn't do the same thing for Space Wolves. Not that I think Space Wolves are as particularly, you know, no one's really howling at the moon being like, no, why didn't we get this thing where I must pay more points to make my guys better? But yeah.
I like what you did there.
Howling at the moon? Yeah, it was fantastic. That's the highlight of it. That's my highlight.
You had that written down.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. That's it. That's all we needed.
Well, see, I assumed when I read it, I assumed I was going to see a line that says, here's your saga. Well, so you can have a warlord trait, but if you want to have the associated saga for the warlord trait, here's the points buy-in. You have to pay the points to get the saga on top. And I assumed that was the mechanic that we're going to go with, because that would have made sense to me. But yeah, no, they didn't. I think Space Wolf Pros are probably happy about that. Like, they're not paying anything for any extras.
Well, I like goodness. You have to do something. So they've got that unique mechanic of you do something, which is a core principle of 40K now, doing something, performing actions or whatever. And now you do something on the table and you get an extra benefit, which is, you know, I think really Space Wolfy.
Yeah, and I suppose that's enough of a buy-in, that the fact that they have to get the best of their warlord traits, the best of their buffs, they have to actually take part in the game. Who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? Those chief apothecaries going to, you know, 6 years in apothecary medical school, and not just pay 15 points, mate, we're good to go.
So the Blood Angels, this is a codex supplement. So what this partners up with the Marine, Space Marine Codex. And so you've got a whole new host of options available to you that you didn't really have before, including, look, you could play this as a codex chapter. I mean, sorry, just a codex adherent chapter. No problems, because you have access to all the units.
Yep, absolutely right. You got everything that the Space Marine Codex has, which is everything.
Yeah, and I think that gives you a lot of options. So it's one of the neat things about this is that you do have an incredible depth of army lists that you can make. And you'll hear me talk about that a lot. That's one of the ways that I judge if a codex is good or not, is how many different armies you can make from it, not if it has one singular build or whatever.
That's the internal balance that you guys might hear us talk about here, there, and everywhere. Internal balance being how well and how much variety and spice you have within a certain book or a certain publication.
Yeah, and this is one of those situations to where you could completely change around the entire list. And I'll actually talk about this a little bit with Mr. Box coming up in a bit, to where he and I have in the past had discussions. Well, I'll save it for that. Y'all can hear it in that conversation, or maybe we'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll do that, and then we'll come back and I can talk about that, because I think it's a very important thing and has to do with what you'll see out of Blood Angels going forward. We'll be right back.
FTN is also on Facebook. Please like us at www.facebook.com/ForgeTheNarrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to a player spotlight section of Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined this evening by Stephen Box.
How you doing, Paul? Thanks for having me on.
Yo, man, thanks for coming on, taking time.
Oh, mate, honestly, I love coming on to your show. So it's a real honor. So, yeah, as you know, I've been a huge fan of your show for ages. So every time I come on, I'm like, yep, tell me when, and I'm on, Paul. Yeah.
Hey, well, let me tell you, you know, I've been fortunate enough to roll some of your Vanguard Tactics dice, and they are premium, doesn't even do them justice.
Yeah, they're interesting, aren't they, when you roll them? Yeah.
Well, I like it. They're aluminum dice. And look, if you're looking to treat yourself, you know, you're getting doing a lot of stuff for folks during the holidays, do a little something for yourself. Go check out the swag. And hopefully we'll tell people where they can get them in the show notes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they're like, because they are expensive. I mean, they're very expensive to even manufacture because of the way they're made. But I wanted something really different. And it's like, if you ever bought yourself like a really nice writing pen, when you like, you know, a biro would do the job. You know that, you know, like the cheapest pen possible will still get your thoughts down on paper. But there is something nice about having a really nice pen. And I think this is kind of like the equivalent version. So anyway, yeah, it's kind of how
these
I
are not
of...
your everyday rollers. I'm right there with you. But yeah, use it when you want to have a nice roll, that nice go first roll or deployment or the saves on your special character or whatever, man. Like I'm saying, check them out. And we'll put a link to your stuff because they can find you in Vanguard Tactics and all that stuff in the show notes. But I wanted to lead off with just, you know, how pleased I am with these dice. And I know some other folks will be as well.
Oh, mate, I hope they serve you well. Yeah.
So I'm a bit of a dice junkie, so I like to have a bunch and switch it up. You know, sometimes they just need a break. You got to put them in timeout and get another one in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's look. This is a great time for us because we're about to get another Blood Angel Codex.
Yep.
And let me phrase it, supplemental codex to the Space Marines. So Blood Angels, Space Marine stuff, like, you know, like it used to be back in the day. It seems like we're going back to that model. And I know you play the Army, so I figured you'd have some thoughts and I want to get you on to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've played a couple of games of the Blood Angels, I suppose, yeah. and I've got a few thoughts on the Blood Angels. Yeah. So, I'm really happy with what's happening at the moment. I think it's great that I've got two codexes to use. I think that's brilliant. So
taking the best of whatever you want, but you had a list, a very aggressive list. I like, the performance is, you know, speaks for itself, but I like the composition of your list and, you know, knowing what you've seen about the, you know, the rumors or what's out there content wise out there, as far as the Blood Angels go, has anything changed for you? Are you looking, what are you most excited about?
I'm actually excited about a lot of different things for different reasons. I had a few frustrations with the previous codex, with a few holes that I really struggled to fill. And as a tournament player, and I like a list that is well-rounded, it can take on any opponent, and I'm very meticulous about how I develop a strategy against every other faction. And when I'd kind of run my list through what I call like my SWOT analysis, there was a few holes in it. Now, I just love with this book, it just gives me so many more little fillers. And I think Games Workshop have done a great job to give you so many options now. I mean, there's relics upon relics to choose from. And I think there's some really unique abilities in that book, which kind of obviously, you know, the Sanguinary Guard is still an absolute staple in my list. Those guys are workhorses, and I mean, I'm probably squeezing in 30 if I can. I'm going to like fulfill everything I possibly can with Sanguinary Guard just because I love the models. But, you know, I think Dante, he's in my list now. He's got some amazing rules, which I really love. And we're looking at different aspects like the Death Company, although for a short period we're out of the list, but they're now coming back in, the Death Company.
With the smaller squad size, you think they're coming back in the list?
Yeah. I mean, I was using 10-man units anyway, so that hasn't really affected me too much. Because when you look at the fact that, yes, you can only take 10, not 15 now, but you're getting two wounds. So actually, there's 20 wounds in that unit rather than even if you maxed out 15 before. So you're still getting more wounds for your, you know, for your buck, really. And when you combine that with some of the stratagems for them, it's so good. And I think they're a real unique snowflake in our army, which really puts your opponent as the defender, and it allows you to become the aggressor because they have to deploy in such a way that if they don't, then you're going to tear them apart. And if they do deploy defensively, it gives the Blood Angel player a little bit more room for maneuver. It gives you a little bit more time to wait till turn three, to where, you know, obviously our army goes absolutely mental. So yeah, I'm definitely bringing some Death Company in the list. And I'm also looking at some other jump pack units at the moment, you know, in regards to, I'm going to play around with some just regular Assault Marines. Cheapest chips Assault Marines with jump packs. I'm going to play around with some suppressors, and I'm going to play around with some Inceptors as well. So there's certainly different aspects I think I can pull in to fill some of those gaps.
Suppressors, that's bold. They don't get a lot of action.
No, and I think really the only reason why I'm taking them is or I might consider taking them. And this is something that they're kind of, I'm going to call it, they're sat on the bench at the moment. They're kind of waiting for play. And I don't know if I'm going to need them, but they have a really unique ability where they can turn off Overwatch. So if I feel like the meta of Salamanders, Ultramarines, Tau is too prevalent in terms of the Overwatch capacity, then maybe that's a unit that fits in nicely to plug some of those gaps. And that's kind of how I like to look at units, is what does this unit do for me on the table? How does it support the rest of the functioning army? So it's not a damage dealer. It's I turn off your Overwatch and thank you very much. We play on from there. So yeah, kind of they're sat on the bench at the moment, though. They haven't quite made the top 2,000 points.
Well, that's still pretty interesting, though, looking at that as just because I have Inceptors in my list currently, the one I'm going to run with and see how it plays out. And they're no slouch in combat either. And that's really the same way for the Suppressors.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're a Space Marine, right? So they get the Shock Assault, you get to turn 3 and you get that extra attack, and you're getting all the buffs from characters, and, you know, you can play that stratagem. So you get an additional AP on a roll of a 6. So actually you could have Suppressors rolling 6s to wound with, you know, -2 AP. That's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So I think there's some really nice synergies in the army. And although we've lost a couple of things, a few things have been toned down a little bit from what it was, I think there's so much flavor in the book. And I really feel like Games Workshop have done a great job, not just to break the army, because I was a little bit worried with how well Blood Angels play the mission anyway. And I've seen some, you know, firsthand some of the results that I've been able to get with playing the mission, that I thought, if they kill Blood Angels because they overpower them, then we're going to be hit with a heavy nerf bat. And that creates a really bad, feels bad, doesn't it? When your units are so expensive, you can't even take them. So I really like what they've done. They've got loads of different options. So yeah. How about you? So anything else in your list, Paul, that you're thinking of playing with? So are you going Plasma Inceptors or Bolt?
Just
Inceptors?
Regular old Bolters. And I've already gotten all kind of resistance. Like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. I was like, well, I kind of do. You know, mm-hmm. At the same time that, like, what am I missing? I'm missing some concentrated fire. I'm missing the ability to stand off and not assault something. And I want to be able to stand on an objective and maybe hose somebody down or make it not beneficial for them to run over there and try to get me off of it. But what I'm mostly interested in looking forward to in this codex is that there really is many different ways to come about it. Like there's some depth here. And I'll talk about this in other places, but let's say that you really like the fact that Blood Angels have a bunch of dreadnoughts. You can really run a bunch of dreadnoughts if you so choose.
Yeah, good full army of dreadnoughts.
Yeah, and we are Sanguinary Guard enthusiasts, and they're still good. I mean, they're not Primaris Marines, and there's a bit of a they lose access to some of the stratagems because of that. But at the same time, you know, your opponent has to deal with them, and they're not easy to deal with.
Yeah, they've got great save, good durability, extra attack now. The weapon's got a boost. What's not to like? So, and also, if they have all those access, I think this is what sometimes people forget, is when you get access to all these different stratagems, buffs, and abilities, you pay for that. And you're either paying for it through stratagems. And if a lot of the time, I'm sure Games Workshop is a rules team, look at it and go, well, this unit becomes absolutely ridiculous. So it needs to become 50 points a model or whatever it might be. And nobody wants that. So I'd rather a toned down version that I can actually take and use as a tactical player in the best way possible and use it in the way that I want to, that feels thematic in the way that sort of goes along with my playstyle. So I really love what they've done. Yeah, really do.
The Sanguiner, I think that's a beautiful rule that he has now. I mean, this is the same as the Index or the Holdover. That hasn't changed, but I'm more just happy that he's can find his way back into the list. Like, you could take any of the special characters and not feel like you're compromising anything. And or build your own, and that's still, and build your own in the form of the Death Company. And I think that the change of buying it with points is better than just spending a CP on it.
Yeah, and some of the new abilities there look really, like, you know, if you're a real narrative player, then there's some really cool situational things that can come up that you might want to lean into. So no, I really like it. I think there's some nice, unique flavor, some aspects there, like with how they've changed Death Company now. So they can't do actions because they're not going to be bothering to raise a banner when they want to be charging forward. So there's some pros and cons to it, which are like from a rules writing or a list writing perspective, because I'm considering, okay, I've got to weigh up the pros and the cons. So there's a decision here. This makes the game fun.
I love it. Again, this is where having access to all these things, and look, you know, as a Blood Angel player, we haven't had access to things like Centurions before.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And I mean, they're not in my list, but you know, I could put them in the list. You know, I think that you can make a lot of cases for different ways to build these armies. And that's really appealing to me. That's something I don't think we've had too much. I think they were more linear paths to victory. Now, you and I have debates, a strong word, but we have challenged each other on certain elements of our list in the past, but we've really only been talking about 300, 400 points worth of a list.
Yeah. It's the 80, it's like the 20% that is the flavor of, you know, do you like this? I like plasma inceptors. You like bolter inceptors. It's kind of like either way, they're good. They fulfill a similar role. But yeah. And I think that's what's, because I think now we could probably debate 50% of it, right? Because there are so many options.
Well, I'm going to go further than that. Is we could be doing 80%. I think that you could build a 2000 point list and have it be one way. And I'm like, you know what? That's cool. I respect it, but here's my completely different 2000 point list.
Yep. Yeah, full dreadnoughts is where I'm going now.
But yeah, anyway, that's what I look for, is like something of whether or not the codex is good or supplement is good, is how many different things can you build from it? And that's nice. I think we'll see a variety. I mean, not granted, my opinion is that you still want to have things that take advantage. You want to have things that play into your chapter tactics and traits. And of course, you want to have targets for good stratagems and stuff. There's different ways you can go about doing it, you know. And the only thing that I wish was pushed maybe a little bit more is the fact that we have everything in the elite slots. You know, I would like to see a little bit more diversification in some of that, pushing a couple of things to troops. But that's so minor. It's such a minor point.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that I wish we had, like assault marines for troops would have been, oh, that would have been a dream. But like back in the day, you could take assault marines, and this is not intercessor assault marines. I mean, actual, you know, jump pack assault marines. If they were a troop option, that would have been so good. So I agree. I think because we are like your dreadnoughts, it would have been nice for us to take them maybe as heavy support, because they feel a bit more like our true heavy support option rather than elite. Potentially, so you could take your Death Company and your Death Company dreadnoughts.
To be a core principle of the game to where that's not the case. Like there's very little Force Org slot. Force Org. How long has it been since you heard that?
Yeah.
But there's very little manipulation of that battlefield role. In the game.
And there's such competition, isn't there, now for like who are your, if you're taking a battalion, who are going to be the three HQ options? I mean, it's tough. Do you take a librarian? Do you take a chaplain? Do you take a captain of sorts? How do you put a lieutenant in the list? Do you put a sanguinary priest in the list? There's so many options now. And I think that top three spot for HQs is going to be fierce competition unless you start breaking into other detachments. And the other thing I will say as well is, I'm actually really pleased that Flesh Terrors, for the guys that like Flesh Terrors as a Blood Angel successor, you know, they have some good play now, because before it was just they felt like not as good Blood Angels in terms of the rules, because the Blood Angel characters were so good you had to take them. Now I feel like they're good, but they're not auto includes. Like Ashtoreth now isn't in my list where he used to be like the man. So I could easily see, you know, their chapter master being taken with some other, you know, like a librarian and a normal chaplain on bike or something. There's some options there where they feel like they've got some really good play. So I really like that. It's not just, this is the way you play Blood Angels. There's, you know, there is some diversity, but still those real core aspects where if you lean into them, like the combat, the extra mobility, and really lean into the play style of the Blood Angels, I think it's going to reward a skillful general. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree all the way with that. I do like the idea that the build your own, like even like I'm looking at this as like, do I really want just a generic Master of Sanctity when I can have such another cool special character or something? Or do I go Death Company Smash Captain type deal? Yeah. That's all very viable. I like it how it didn't it doesn't negate anybody's choice. Like, you're not just going to be making what's on your shelf model decisions, you know, which is good. You have the option to grow and expand if you want, but you could also just be playing with what you were playing with before, give or take a model or two.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree. And I think whatever sort of philosophy you have around list writing, there's ways and means to plug that in. So I think if you're a Blood Angel player, you should be very excited. And I think, some of the things have been removed, but after, you know, looking at the rules in, you know, hopefully now I'm out of lockdown as of 2 days time, I can start playing again. I cannot wait to get back on the table with the Blood Angels.
That's what this, we need time to have this bloom to really mess with it. And I'm looking forward to it. And I've been running BA list with the index stuff. Heck, I've even tried out the Fire Raptor and stuff. I mean, which it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't scream Blood Angels. I'm going to play with some stuff that just screams Blood Angels.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't. I mean, it's fast moving. It throws out a lot of shots. It fills some holes in the army that, you know, quality firepower that you don't get from a lot of assault troops. So yeah. I'm not ruling it out. But again, I get to have it as be a part of the conversation, which is just a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So how are you feeling about the Vanguard Vets?
Yeah, Vanguard Vets, in the index, in that brief spot, they were in my list. And I've recently just converted my entire army again. I was like, right, I've learned some new painting skills with my airbrush I wanted to try out. And I was like, it's time to freshen up the Blood Angels. So I was intending to build 10 of them because I was going to run a unit of 8 with Power Fists and Storm Shields. But now they are out and the Death Company are in. I just can't not take the Death Company. Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. I've had a bunch of folks just basically tell me that the Vanguard Vets, you know, they do all this stuff. They're so resilient, and they are. And you can have a bunch of cheap Vanguard Vets with just Storm Shields and Chain Swords and be just fine.
Yep.
But yeah, I think I'm going to be playing with just the BA specific units for a while. But, you know, again, we're talking about competition in the elite slots. We're talking about Blade Guard and other things. Those, you know, you're not going to go wrong taking something like that.
Anything that hits hard in combat is a good, you know, Outriders are a good Blood Angel choice. They get a boatload of attacks in. What do you add more as Blood Angels? More boatload of attacks, you know? So, yeah, anything that can fight in the fight phase, whether it's aggressors, it's all going to do well as a Blood Angel. I think when you start to, I always try to imagine a book having a, you know, those word cloud things where you put a bunch of words into a jumbler and whatever word is repeated the most is like the biggest visual word. Do you know that what I'm on about?
I know what you're talking about.
So I think if I was to put the Blood Angel book into one of those machines, it would spit out combat. That would be the biggest one. And then the next biggest one, I think, would be jump pack. So I think if you're going some sort of jump pack variant and maybe dreadnoughts as well. So I think they would be the big three. And if you're sort of anywhere around there, you're probably playing well into the Blood Angels sort of army theme. So yeah, but like you said, Blade Guard could do a job in impulses that, you know, you need a way to keep them up, but you could go drop pod heavy with Corbolo in the mix, who's an incredible character now. So yeah, I mean, there's ways and means that you could have all your Death Company coming out of drop pods.
I'm waiting on that multi-part kit of Blade Guard to come out to grow it to 5. I think 5 Blade Guard in an impulser is pretty deadly.
Yeah. And again, like the Judicer that we get access to helps us out in some of the matchups where, you know, Death Guard make you fight at initiative order. Like the non-charging order. So they get to fight first. You know, being able to make a unit fight last helps the Blood Angel player in a lot of matchups. So again, you could put a Judicer in there with a Relic or a Warlord trait with the Blade Guard screaming up the field. And that's a good shout as well. So yeah, I mean, there's lots, I think, to be excited about.
Well, as this codex gets out in people's hands and as it develops, I'd like to have it on again and talk, you know, about list and what, you know, whatever fancies us here. I think we could spend a lot of time talking about Blood Angels, and not that I don't anyway, but, you know, look, it's nice to have somebody else to talk about it with. Yeah.
Rather than, oh, not Blood Angels again, Paul. Yeah.
I get that anyway. Yeah, but you're right.
I'm never going to say that. I could just go like, Paul, keep going. Yeah, nice. It's fine.
Well, man, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel, Vanguard Tactics. I stream pretty much every Tuesday night. And I have a podcast called the Competitive 40K Podcast, where I just try and help people develop list strategies and list ideas. And we focus on more the competitive aspect. But as you probably heard, I still value the other ways to play the game. And I just want to help people feel confident and comfortable at the tabletop. And then I have my academy, if people fancy that and they really want to take their learning to the next level, that's where you can get even more content from me, is on my academy. And all that links to that are on my website, www.vanguardtactics.com. And I'm actually running a free masterclass on Blood Angels. I'm not sure when you release this one, this show, Paul, but it's going to be, the masterclass is on the 6th of December, and it's completely free. You can access it and you can watch it back. And I'm going to go over how I'm building my Blood Angels, how I'm reading the Codex. So if people are interested in that, then yeah, check it out.
Well, dude, man, I'll put links in the show notes and we'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Have a good one.
You're listening to Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody, we are back. I hope you all enjoyed that. What is basically a love note to Blood Angels.
That's not going to stop, guys. I promise you. I've been around him for a while now. If you're relatively new, understand that this is not going anywhere anytime soon.
At least I have the relevance and the context of a Codex supplement release.
Yeah. Nobody's ever going to call you like a bandwagon, you know, like, did you see the new Blood Angels Codex drop? Yeah, I've been a fan. I've been a Blood Angels fan the whole time, you know, and like you get away with that, you know. Yeah. I feel like a goober because I've been making my own chapter and I basically just wanted an excuse to use flamer aggressors, right? And I was like, well, you know what? Let's use the Salamander's rules because that makes sense. And then everything panned out and all of a sudden Salamanders were like the top Marine army or something for all. Like all of a sudden everybody's all about Salamanders.
For a minute, yep.
Yeah, for a minute there, they were insane and people, and I was like, oh God, no, I went meta, no, I was feeling like such an idiot. And then they, you know, they come in and they nerfed aggressors and they nerfed some Salamander stuff a little and brought them down. And I played with them after all those things. And I was like, you know what? They're fine. Still good. Still, it was like, how insane were they that they did all these things and all my games, I'm still doing okay in. And I was like, okay, yeah, not that's fine. That's just fine. That's totally justified. So I still feel like a poser playing them though. So hopefully the Dark Angels Codex will come out soon so I can get back there and enjoy that.
There you go.
Yeah, baby.
But, what I do want to ask Paul is one of my students who in our little club at school, we're not really getting to play right now, but he's painting models and stuff up at home and he chose Blood Angels and he's slowly building his Blood Angels army and he's getting ready to paint his Assault Intercessors. And the main question that anybody should have right now, I think, and the one I don't know how to best answer is, should he paint those Assault Intercessors red or paint them black?
That is a great question. And, you know, we might all have different reasons or opinions here, but I'm going to say regrettably, and it's not really regrettably because they're all going to be Blood Angels, but regrettably paint them red.
You think the Death Company isn't worth it?
I think once you take the elite slot is incredibly congested. And by the time so you're going to take Sanguinary Guard. You're going to take a lot of Sanguinary Guard. Or you're going to take Death Company. Or if you're not going to take Death Company, then you're going to take Blade Guard.
Or Vanguard Vets. Or, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? It keeps going down. And by the time you get to Death Company Intercessors, you don't have any slots left. You have no detachments left. You have nothing. You have nothing you can do. You have no points.
Right.
It's just they're not that I don't think that they're good. I mean, once you put the Death Company rules on, and if you took a suite of characters that support the Death Company, then mm-hmm. you'll make them really good. But just by the time you get down to that, for if he's going for efficiency, if he's going for overall killiness, but you know what is in line with what I was talking about before is that. You could make an all Death Company army for the most part. And,
yeah.
And you might just want a couple of firstborn squads kind of sitting on the back hills with a missile launcher looking at all the carnage and the black armor happening over the battlefield.
Yeah. That was kind of my big concern there. Is like as I looked at not even getting my hands on the codex yet, but you know the errata that came out and how that was all playing out was like it really shocked me how many characters, named characters, elites, all the characters that Blood Angels have access to, especially now that it's on top of the Marine Codex. It's insane how many options
of special characters we got.
What's that?
Six. I said everybody's hating on the number of special characters.
No, I'm not hating on it. What I'm sorry. Yeah, don't take that as hate. What I'm saying is like it was kind of shocking to me. Like I was going through everything and trying to figure it out, and it felt, and that was kind of the reason I say that is because we were looking at Death Company and thinking, well, yeah, Death Company Death Company Intercessors would be really cool, but you would need this, you would want this. And it feels like you invest a lot into making those Death Company like this super, you know, just bomb of a unit that's going to go through and kill everything. And I was having a hard time deciding how much you should invest in them, or are they worth it at all? Or, you know, do you just put a squad out there and let it go? Or do you, you know, give them all the bells and whistles to go with them?
I think so for his first squad, if he's only got one unit of Assault Intercessors, then make them the troop's choice, make him red. Mm-hmm. And then as he plays, you develop that into picking up another and then painting them black. Or heck, you know, maybe just paint them black and call them regular. I mean, I don't like to do that because there's rules for, I would never really encourage that. But you know, they're also, it's his figure, so do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Paint them pink.
But I think that he'll get the most use out of them if he paints them red and uses them as the troops.
Okay. Too easy.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's got any other differing opinions on that or different reasons.
No, I think that the biggest issue, well, if I was to talk about my biggest negative for the Blood Angels, and there aren't that many, it's just that elite slot. You're just going to want to take all this stuff, and you're going to be like, yeah. I either have to take a bunch of detachments that clogs up my CP expenditure, or I take Vanguards and get less CP, or, you know, yeah, it could have been done more elegantly. A couple of other things could have been fast attacks or whatnot.
Yeah, even looking at the before the actual book came out, every one of these characters, I was like, gosh, I really want that. Like, I build a list, I would want that. And every time I'd try to sit down and help him build a list, it was like this giant, everything I wanted was like characters or, you know, like special characters or something. And I was like, oh crap. Oh yeah. I still need to put some troops in here somewhere. I still need this and this. Mm. And there's just so many, the Sanguinary Priest is just, that model is gorgeous, you know, like it just, there's models I just want in an
very
army.
Useful in the game too. So
yeah. And so it's hard, at least with Dark Angels, I know what works, what doesn't work, because I've been playing them forever, but trying to switch gears into a Blood Angel list while still learning all of those models and just being overwhelmed by all the characters options that they had. It was almost intimidating to work on a Blood Angels list right now, because Blood Angels have so many options and they looked really fun. I don't know how great they are at the end of the day on the table, but they looked fun.
Well, they're in a great spot. I mean, you can't say this for a lot of publications out there, but for this book, every special character, except Tycho, is very, very useful. Every single one, Tycho. Except Tycho.
Yeah.
Tycho, he's at his day. Get that asterisk.
He had like 10 years. We had 10 years of Tycho. It was before most of us were born, but it was there.
Yeah, indeed. Well, so there's been some changes. So one of the things that I used to love about the Blood Angels is being able to like bounce on the table. Start on the table, jump up, come back down, wreck face.
Oddly, Paul, one of the things I used to hate about the Blood Angels was that.
So the Upon Wings of Fire, use this stratagem in your movement phase, select one Blood Angels Corps jump pack unit from your army and remove it from the battlefield. In the reinforcement step of your next movement phase, set up that unit anywhere on the battlefield that is more than 9 inches away from enemy models. That's a bit of, see, okay, it's fair, but it's clearly a nerfing from the previous version of this.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to lose their mind about that change, because it's still very potent, very good. But it is. There's no hiding. That's a downgrade.
Super downgrade is the most polite way you could possibly
say
that.
Fury also got a bit of a step knocked out of it. Use a stratagem at the start of your first battle round before the first turn begins. Select one Death Company unit from your army. It can make a normal move up to 12 inches as if it were the movement phase, but must end that move more than 9 inches away from enemy models. So if you're going first, this is functionally no change. Mm. If you're not going first, then they have the potential to maybe move out of the way. You do it. I don't know. You know, again, I think that functionally this is not much of a change, but I think it's going to feel better for your opponent in practical use.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Unbridled Ardor. This is one of the really potent ones from the Psychic Awakening. This allowed you to perform a heroic intervention with a unit up to 6 inches. And now that's been downgraded to only work for the Sanguinary Guard. But again, you don't care because you're taking a lot of Sanguinary Guard anyway, so it's not really a downgrade. But I used to love doing this with Death Company. That's the change. Descent of Angels. This is the one that allowed you to 3d6 charge.
That was the one I was getting ready to ask about.
Perfect. Yeah. So now use a stratagem at the end of your movement phase, like one Blood Angel's core jump pack unit, which Sanguinary Guard work still, from your army that was set up on the battlefield during the reinforcement step of this phase until the end of the turn. Each time a charge roll is made for that unit, you can ignore any or all modifiers to that charge. So that is good. There are things that could reduce your charge, and you're not forced to ignore your +1 to charge. So, you know, it's a nicely worded thing. And then there's another point here. Each time a model in that unit makes an attack, add 1 to that attack's hit roll. So this is one of those that, is it really a nerf? Yeah, you're probably going to connect a little bit less frequently, but when you do, you're going to make it even worse for your opponent.
Yeah, I really like the Descent of Angels change. I think it's a bit of an elegant change. It is, again, it's a downgrade. That one is more of a downgrade than a feels bad change, though. Like, you're still going to get good mileage out of that, because the better your opponent is, the better that stratagem feels. Like, the more capable they are of using terrain against you, the better you're going to feel when you go begin to be like, I choose to ignore the -2, but I choose to not ignore my +1 or my +2 from a Master of Sanctity or whatever. So I think that's an elegant change. I do feel like, so I don't want to say there was gotchas in the last kind of swathe of Blood Angels releases, like between their Codex and their Psychic Awakening, but man, there were some feel bad moments where you'd be playing somebody who just didn't comprehend what Death Company could do to them turn one, and you would just end the game. The game would just be over on turn one. Just walk in, all your key stuff is dead or tapped or wrapped, and functionally we could have just not played this game.
A series of events had to line up that way, though. You had to be going first. They had to deploy in such a way to where that was possible. Although I will say that it's very difficult to counter deploy it, because you used to could move in advance, so you'd move 15, 16 inches and then move another 12 inches. I mean, that's incredibly impressive amount of movement.
So the other feel bad one is the Upon Wings of Fire. Because I've had this happen to me, You had a 25 mil based company captain with a Thunderhammer, and he Upon Wings of Fire you turn one into a place you didn't think he could, because he's on a 25 instead of a 32, because whatever tournament you're doing allowed that. A lot of people did. Everyone had a bit of a grace period to get their stuff on the right sized basis. Mm-hmm. And so for a bit of...
It sounds like someone really exercised that grace period.
Oh, maliciously. Maliciously is all hell. And it was fine, you know. TOs have said it's okay. But get bad touched by a captain that decides to go in, charge you 3d6 from reserve, after you get to redeploy at the top of turn one, charges you, fights twice, kills one of your key things, taps another thing, you fight it back, you kill him, he attacks a third time because he's got a fight on death as well. But now not only can't do their redeploy, it's got to come in on the next turn. So it gives you a turn to screen that thing out because you know it's going to be coming down. Then you can't fight twice with that character anymore. And if he fights once, he can't then fight on death. So all those gotchas, well, not gotchas, all those crazy multipliers where you just be on top, he'd be fighting again and again and again and doubling down on every single buff he's got. It's a lot less punitive now.
There are some things that that stack ups. But if you were investing that was a lot of CP investment into that character, but it would win you the game. So.
Yeah, it would.
It's all fine. Yeah. Now these are changed. Yeah, it's very, very functional, still, but changed.
I was going to say, I'm very happy now that Blood Angels get to are encouraged to play with the rest of their codex instead of that one dude going around winning the game. So I'm happy to see that it's going more towards a strategy that involves more Blood Angels than what do I take other than the loyal 32, this captain with that hammer, and let's burn through some CP. So it's it's such a great change.
And speaking of those assault intercessors, I have 20 in my current list, and I know Adam rolled his eyes last time I mentioned it as well. I can hear it from here, but I have 20 in there, and there's reasons I have 20 in there. It's because some of the stratagems only work on them. The fight twice stratagems for assault intercessors. The rest of the things in my army, transhuman physiology won't work on because I have sanguinary guard, and it's a Primaris only thing.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I was really wanting to get a unit in there is because that's such a huge change is moving the shooting twice to just intercessors, the fighting twice to just assault intercessors. Because, I mean, I was using that a lot. A 10-man intercessor squad, I don't care if you're assault intercessors or not, 10-man intercessor squad charging in is going to do a crap ton of work, especially if you went and made them, the Indomitus veterans that I was, of course, Blood Angels couldn't do that. But being able to knock out, 40 attacks and then do it again. I mean, I could knock out 80 attacks from a 10-man squad. And then, you know, the idea of doing something like that with the intercessors after shooting twice and then charging in and then attacking twice was bonkers. So it was a good change moving that over to assault intercessors, giving assault intercessors something that only assault intercessors can do. I think that's cool. That gives you incentive to play them.
Part of the chapter is the stratagem, and now only works for the assault intercessors.
Yeah, and it's so fun when you get to do it.
I mean, I think it's huge. I think to your recommendation that they get painted as troops, I think that's the right way to go out the gate. I think that, I mean, the nice thing with these assault-oriented Space Marine chapters and that are out there is that these having troop choices, there's so much other stuff, like you're saying, overloaded elite choices, trying to bring this other stuff in. I mean, there's so much other stuff to put out there that I totally agree with. Assault intercessors going as troops. I kind of like the amount of things that can stack because, and I don't mean to get to the degree of like terms and conditions like we've talked before, where it's this one unit that you're hinging on. I feel like Blood Angels have it where you can pass these buffs around, and at the right moment, the right time, maybe you get one unit of assault intercessors. It doesn't have to be a particular one. It could be, you know, a number of them could all of a sudden just be ramped up to this, you know, just turned up to 11 and just cut through something. I it's not an upgrade necessarily like that you pay with points, but there is that stratagem, right? That they showcased in the community article that for one turn, everybody kind of goes crazy, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Is that the one with the extra AP on the sixes?
Yeah, AP. Yeah, I think that's it. Mm. But between that and then also the extra attacks they can get, you bring in the, assuming the priest still gives it, right? The priest, the sanguinary priest still gives
the chalice. Attack.
Yeah, the chalice.
Paul is huge on the chalice.
Right. I mean, and so if you can play this right and you play this kind of instead of I kind of like it and you guys have already hit on it. Instead of having to focus on Hero Hammer as much, I feel like the Blood Angels can kind of spread it out across their army now. It's not so much focused on, you know, two Smash Captains, Mephiston or, a Librarian Dreadnought necessarily. You can really make the whole army to a degree very much a threat and able to stay in there as well. I agree on the Primaris decision. I think that, you know, Vanguard veterans and Sanguinary Guard and all, like there's a lot to those, but I think that there's probably some more durability offered in the range of Primaris at this point, thanks to Transhuman.
So with there's a stratagem in the Space Marine book called Death to the Traitors. Use a stratagem in the fight phase, and Adeptus Astartes can reroll hit rolls against Heretic Astartes. And then there's a stratagem for the Blood Angels have Vengeance for Sanguinius that allows them to reroll wound rolls against Black Legion. Mm. Who
I don't know how many Black Legion you're necessarily going to fight right now.
I don't either.
But I know you're going to be.
That's
you're
like the Dark Angels. Poor Fallen. I love all of our Fallen rules in the Dark Angels. That's kind of the problem is when these cool thematic rules. They're neat to have, but it always kind of hurts because it feels like they just wasted a part of the page.
But you're definitely going to be fighting Death Guard, so at least Heretic Astartes is covered under that.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you've got, you know, a 5-man squad charging up against Abaddon, maybe you want to have 2 CP in your pocket.
Maybe you think, yeah.
But if you're, relying on that. Look, I'm just saying it's possible.
That's the understatement of the year.
I'm talking about the value, all the value you can get out of these two codexes.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. So I guess here's my question. Bare bones, like, and I'm not saying break it down all the way by the points, but what ballpark, what would your 2,000 point Blood Angels list have in it? Like, what would be your go-tos?
So that's a great question. And I think you have to, we talked about this in Sanguinary Priest kind of a second ago, just as an aside, but there's a stratagem called Chalice Overflowing. And this lets the Sanguinary Priest use the stratagem in your command phase, select one Sanguinary Priest model from your army. The model can use its Blood Chalice ability one additional time this phase. So nice. What the Blood Chalice does is allows them to count someone as being in the Assault Doctrine. So doing
that's a really big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And then there's a Space Marine. You know, I was joking about the death to the traitors, but there is a there's a stratagem from the Space Marine Codex that allows you to count as having all the doctrines active for one unit. So with the Chalice Overflowing and that stratagem from the Space Marine Codex, you could put three units in Assault Doctrine, you know, in turn one or two.
It's a spicy meatball, if I could say so myself. Yeah. I think it's ferocious.
That's what made me like really excited about Assault Intercessors. If I had that ability to just run them in there and not have to wait, because you imagine playing Blood Angels and then having to wait till turn three to use your doctrine that all your fun things happen in, that would be terrible. So it's fun when it lines up.
The other thing's 2CP. It's adaptive strategy, and your warlord has to be on the table and all this other kind of stuff. But it's a 2CP, and then you spend the Chalice Overflowing. So it's 3CP total. So it's like you spent 1CP per unit to advance them into the Assault Doctrine, and I think that is incredibly worth it. And you can accomplish that by including a Sanguinary Priest, who happens to be an Apothecary. So bringing back some expensive, or healing expensive dudes, potentially bringing back expensive models. Take it. So that's an odd include in the list. I've also taken the Master of Sanctity on a bike, Primaris Chaplain on a bike, and upgraded him to the Super Chaplain.
It doesn't hurt that model looks awesome.
That was a fun one for me. Me and Paul discussed this at length. That was a fun one for us to discuss because there's two alternatives. There's two named alternatives, essentially, for Blood Angels. Of course, you've got Lamartis, but Lamartis has a bit of a change in his wording that his litanies will now only affect Death Company. So he's a little bit restricted, but if you're taking a Death Company-centric list, you will get some mileage out of him. But the other one was of course, Astaroth. And the thing is, like, you could legit, like, between Astaroth and Master of Sanctity, there's not that much of a difference. Like, they're pretty, pretty comparable. I think that's actually exciting.
It is. So what went out for me was the base size, because you're measuring range of these litanies, and the Primaris Outrider bike is, I mean, it's like on a foot-long base.
Yep.
So it's going to work out, I think, more often than not to get some of the, be able to spread his love around. And when you're dealing with, you know, three units of Sanguinary Guard, they might not all be in the same place. Or, I mean, they got to be close to the same place, but, you know, you get a little bit more wiggle room. And that's what I'm opting with. So I think that's in the list. For the third HQ, this is, I believe, an incredibly contested spot as well. Because like we talked about, the Blood Angels have a lot of options, and you've also got the Space Marine options. You've got to build your own options. But the special characters like Dante, Mephiston, the Sanguiner, Astaroth, you know, we just talked about, they're all good. Like you could make a case for any one of them, and you wouldn't be feel ashamed putting any of them in your list. But then you've also got the Librarian Dreadnought, which doesn't suck. I mean, the Librarian Dreadnought, I think, is in all like accounts, like if you're looking at on paper math wise, he's almost as good as Mephiston.
Yep, and for all intents and purposes, he's harder to kill, but a little bit less killy. So that's a bit of a toss up which way you want to go with that, or which one you feel like you value more.
Yep. So I think you need a little bit of psychic defense if you're taking the rest of your army to be assault wise. So I think that's what if you're building your list, you're helping your friend build a list. That's what you have to discuss with yourself, is that do you feel like having a Deny the Witcher 2 is worth it to you to maybe compromise what you might put in that third HQ slot? Mm.
It's an annoying embarrassment of riches right now.
So
this is a good problem to have.
It's two slots, though. It's your HQ and your elite slot. And that's where I find it a little bit annoying. Like, I wish Death Company were in fast attack. Like, I wish they were all that. I mean, they can't put Vanguard Vets in Fast Attack because that's changing it from what's in the basic codex it's working from. But yeah, having Death Company in Fast Attack, that would change this codex like completely.
So another thing about Mephiston before we get off of that is that I said the Librarian's kind of comparable, but Mephiston gets to deny two psychic powers. The Dreadnought only denies one. So you're getting a little bit more resilience with the Duty Eternal on the Librarian Dreadnought, but I think you are ultimately sacrificing functionality, and that's one of the reasons, other than the fact that Mephiston is amazing, that I've opted to put Mephiston in my list.
It doesn't hurt that you're like a big Mephiston fanboy.
Fanboy.
So we have to put an asterisk there as well, right?
But he's got more attacks. I know that the Dreadnought's a character, but ultimately Mephiston is a bit easier to conceal.
Yeah.
Because of just smaller profile, a smaller silhouette. And again, he's no slouch in combat and he can move 7 inches. So if he can move faster than the Librarian Dreadnought, even with Wings of Sanguinius on both of them. So, and the two Deny the Witch. So more power options too, I believe. I think he knows an extra power. Yeah. So choose your poison, I guess. But so what's your Iron Claw put in a list that you have to ask, is the disruption important to you? Because you could take a Beatstick character, and these are both Beatstick characters. They just happen to have a little bit of extra functionality. And if that matters, then put a Psyker in your list. If it doesn't matter to you, then go with somebody else. And Dante doesn't suck. A Smash Captain or a two Lightning Claw or a Teeth of Terror Storm Shield Captain is not a bad option. Burning Blade, go on the cheap for a power relic kind of thing. The Burning Blade still exists. I used to take that.
It does.
To still exist, right?
Yeah, it does. Yep. Yeah.
It's definitely there.
Yep. And then for the troop slots, it's tough. Are you taking the troop slot just as a tax to unlock more things for you? You probably should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels silly to not take the troops, to take the three troops and go with a battalion.
Yeah. But battalion it up. But it's, yeah. Do you take fatter than minimum size squad troop choices? That's the question. And I have opted do that. I mean, I've opted for 2 10 man assault intercessors.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to put them on the table, if you're going to put assault intercessors on the table, I feel like, and you're going to pay 2 CP to pop a strat, you better have enough there to make it worth it. Is kind of the way I see it.
Thank you, Mr. Addington.
You're very welcome.
No.
Did I read that correctly? I wanted to make sure I read that note correctly.
But I also think that in a waved game, you know, where you have you go out and they do all this work, and it might work out, it might not, but then you want to have a little bit of pivots and options and stuff. And I think having some boots on the ground that maybe you've not flung up all the way in their opponent's face might help you with the way objectives are scored in this edition.
Well, and you know, speaking of getting in their face up front real quick, I mean, I know it's a little bit of a push off, and we haven't talked about the Flesh Terrors at all.
No,
very good point.
They get focus in this book. What are you thinking?
I mean, anything that can advance and charge gets me excited. So
yeah, fair enough.
I definitely started looking around at different Blood Angel stuff when people said that. And Gabriel Seth's no slouch necessarily when it comes to characters, but that advance and charge. Yeah, exactly.
The
neutral bullet.
The Beyblade.
Yeah.
Love it.
If a 40K character could be a Beyblade, yeah, there you go. I think, though, the ability to advance and charge, if it's something that's even if there's not that many things that have that. I know there's definitely a whole Space Marine army that can pull it off, but thanks, White Scars. But this aspect with Blood Angel benefits sounds like it could be really good.
So they have some really good Warlord traits, and we also haven't talked about the Lost ability, being able to dump people to the Death Company. I shouldn't say dump to the Death Company. That's all I've ever referred to it as, because they used to take them out of the unit. Like, you used to have models on the table, you would take them out of the unit and they would go to the Death Company. And so then it just always stuck to me that you were busting them off to the Death Company. You can nominate a character to become Death Company, a captain or a lieutenant, and it doesn't violate your rights of command.
Mm-hmm.
The one that you can only have one captain. You could have another captain. So you could have a chapter master and a captain that's fallen to the Death Company.
And yeah, he's your smash captain. You just have to smash captain back. And I believe now that is something thematic and typical of Blood Angels for the last 4 years. Now they've almost put it in the codex for you. Hey, here you go, smash captain.
Yeah, he's a fire and forget, because he ain't coming back.
He doesn't want to come back.
Yeah.
Wait, are you telling me his rules reflect the story?
They do, and they've got these special abilities now that allow you to have a death vision during the game, and it has a special rule benefit.
One of these is named. It's called On the Bridge of the Vengeful Spirit. And you think about what that means? Because I think, Paul, maybe explain to people what being in the Death Company means for maybe those who aren't so aware. If you want to explain a bit
right,
of fluff.
So Death Company
even I can explain this. Oh my gosh, stand back, guys. Let me.
All right.
I've been around Paul long enough that I can explain this, but I'm going to let you do it, Paul.
I'm going to let you finish.
So then I'm going to tell you about why the lion's awesome.
The Death Company are racked by visions of the final moments of Sanguinius. So they're said to be reliving the encounter, the journey from appearing on the Vengeful Spirit and then the journey through the halls into the eventual encounter with Horus in those final moments of Sanguinius. The Death Company relive that. So when they are in battle, they believe that they are in that moment, that they are Sanguinius embodied, and they are on the bridge of the Vengeful Spirit.
I heard that if you role play this out at the table, you get 5 command points back.
I'll give them to you if you do it.
I'll walk myself off a primary objective.
A model can only use a death vision if any enemy infantry character or monster character models are visible to it. If a model uses the death vision, then until the fight is resolved, add 1 to that model's attack characteristic for every 5 enemy models that are within 6 inches of it. And there's another bullet point. Each time that model makes an attack, you can reroll the hit roll.
I love this. I love it. It's thematic. It's fun. That's cool.
This is in addition. You get the Black Rage rules, which are, I believe, they're the same. I think they're the same, except you can also not perform any actions. That's a brand new thing. It's a big downgrade also. But honestly, you're not going to be deploying scrambles with the Deck anyway. You'll be killing stuff. So it's fine. So next death vision, Grace of the Angel. A model can only use this death vision if any enemy infantry character or monster character models are within engagement range of it. If a model uses the death vision, then until the end of that turn, this model has a 3+ invulnerable save.
Spicy. Big fan of this one.
It's harder to get a 3+ invulnerable save now. So, you know.
Well, outside special characters or getting a rule or a stratagem that gives you +1, you can't really get a standing 3+ invuln.
Yeah. So I think you would pay the points to get the Black Rage upgrades anyway, no matter what. These death visions are a bonus on top of it.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking about it.
The next one is to slay the War Master. And this is the last one. A model can only use his death vision if any enemy infantry character or monster character models are within engagement range. If a model uses this death vision, then instead of making any attacks for that fight, both players roll off. If you win, select one of those enemy models. That model suffers D3+3 mortal wounds.
Now, you and I had a discussion about this one, but I want to see what Red and Ricky think about this interpretation. Does that mean that neither player makes attacks, or it just means you don't make an attack, the guy with the death visions?
Say the
read it again. Yeah.
Yeah. I was already going to the rule book. Hang on. Let me go back. I've memorized the page number that's on. So anybody following along at home, it's on page 63. A model can only use this death vision if any enemy infantry character or monster character models are within engagement range of it. If a model uses this death vision, then instead of making any attack for that fight, both players roll off. If you win, select one of those enemy models. That model suffers D3+3 mortal wounds.
Well, it seems pretty clear that you don't attack. Was that your question?
Is it the target of it as well, or is it just you, the person who's got the death vision?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
To stop the other person from attacking also. Are you in like a little mini like mind-locked challenge?
Oh, yeah, because that could be bonkers.
Yeah. It says no attacks are made for that fight. Not for that model, which is what I assumed it would say if it wanted to be clear and easy for us to use.
Yeah, I mean that if it's for that fight, because they're in a fight.
Yeah,
but right? But the way that the ruling, the wording of when you have like a, you choose a unit to activate and everything.
That's
like,
when I'm going to the fight phase right now and seeing those. Because we did discuss it as like, well, probably both. But then after I started thinking about it, I think you might be right, Red, is that when you are each unit is its own fight.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make you repeat yourself again. So I'm not making a definitive decision one way or the other. I think that it's worth looking at. just because of the wording. I think when it says something like that, it's very possible it could just be that activation.
It would be very clunky if it weren't just for that unit's activation. Mm-hmm.
It would be like the best stop you from dying mechanic in the game, because you're just like, ah, Magnus, yeah. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, it would be awesome if that worked, right? You just charge the biggest, baddest thing on the table, yeah. Pop this off, and okay, I'll take a few mortal wounds, whatever, all right.
So when you select a unit to fight, it first piles yeah. in, then it yeah. models in that unit, must make close combat attacks, and then the unit consolidates. Mm-hmm. So it's all... Now look, we're reading a rule, we're trying to decide intent.
I think the way the way I'm questioning it is the most powerful OP obnoxious way it can be interpreted, and hoping it's not the reality. But if it's the reality, I don't know. You're paying 20 points for it. I guess, you know, you can stop one guy from punching you once per game.
And then you might do something because you still have to roll off.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the end of the world, but it's probably not that way though. I think I got very excited about it during our little podcast, and it was just running with it in my brain though.
I would put that on the fact watch.
Yeah.
But everything else is pretty straightforward in the book, though. So, I mean, you know, look, and you know, I feel like things can be good. That's okay.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
But this might be a little too ambiguous and cause debates at the table, and you don't want to do that. So maybe we'll see. But that's a new thing in the Blood Angel book. There are a couple of amazing... Tell you what, let's take a break. We'll do that vendor spotlight, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a couple of the cool relics. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Please check out Jay's shop. Fun dude to work with. I know a lot of you have hit him up with orders, and you know, great shop. I want to talk about some... it works out. Talking about relics. Red, you were mentioning the advance and charge for the Crimson Fist. For the flesh
terrors. Yep, I was. I flesh sure terrors. Was for the yep, for those guys. We're talking about flesh terrors.
The Crimson Plate.
The Crimson Plate relic. Yeah, that's the one thing that we've seen so far that the bearer is eligible to charge in a turn in which it advances. Goes on a Flesh Terrors Terminator. For all of you out there running Terminator HQs and Blood Angel armies, Crimson Plate is for you.
It adds one to your movement characteristic, so you're slightly faster, and you can move up to 4 inches when making a pile-in and consolidate move. So, and advance and charge. So with the advance and charge, it's almost like you have a slightly busted jump pack.
Except move 6 instead of move 12. And no fly.
It's 6. Well, you move, what is it, 5 plus d6, you advance.
Yeah, that's true. So 1/6 of the time, you're just as good.
I'm trying to help the flesh terrors out.
I'll stop. But, I mean, it represents their first chapter master, doesn't it? You're telling us about this in between takes.
I think Amit is their first chapter master.
He was. There's actually a really cool book about it. It's actually, for those of you that are like, you know, really into the lore, I thought the book was pretty good, especially how it plays off some of the Horus Heresy books, which he's also featured in. And I think it's cool.
He's a hard dude. I mean, like, he's outspoken and speaks his mind and believes in what he says. And it's a real cool character. And I mean, he's one of those, like, those first captain type characters that is not too afraid. He's respectful, but not afraid to challenge, like, what might be the indomitable authority of a Primarch or somebody else's Primarch kind of thing.
Well, that's how it really was in the Heresy, though. Like, unless you were talking to a Primarch, you really did... Space Marines showed no deference to freaking anybody unless it was their Primarch or another Primarch. And so, you know, all these, when the Imperium of Man started and the High Lords of Terror started getting their claws into the structure, and, you know, Codex Astartes were kind of paid heed to. The first chapter masters for all these chapters, they were like first captains of legions before this. And so they're just like, this is a downgrade. I'm going to take orders from this bureaucrat. Wow, that blows. That blows.
I think one of the things that the books have done recently is made you, like, yes, like, I used to choose the books and... you know, I'd flip through and see how many Primarchs were in it. And if it was like, it hit a certain, oh, there's four Primarchs in this, I'm reading this next, no matter what. But then as the series went on, I'm like, oh, I want to know about that captain, that sergeant, that, you know, these guys, because they're really coming into their own. And they, while they were not as, they're not as physically imposing or threatening or whatever as a Primarch, but you started to see what their minds were, how they fit in, you know, the real leaders, you know, and not to get super technical, but like there's like five different types of power. And one of those is expert power, like you just know a lot, you know, and then you've got positional power. You're the head of something, you have a cool title or something. And then, you know, there's like the father figure type power type things. And all these different characters, you know, they're all experts in one or two or three of these things, where a Primarch had all five, all four, all five, but it's like a sliding scale for these guys. These guys were around 11 in one or two of these things, and you see how they interact with the world. It's fascinating. I think the writers did an amazing job.
Well, I'm actually not huge on this is a weird thing to say. I'm not huge on Primarchs. I'm really big on secondary characters like Sigismund. I don't particularly like Imperial Fists. I love Black Templars, and I love Sigismund. So any Horus Heresy fluff that has Sigismund in it, all freaking over it. I'll just devour that stuff. Same as like, it's exactly the same for Corswain from Dark Angels. I love the Lion. I love the Lion to death. But Corswain's my babe. Like, if anything that's got Corswain or Corswain related paraphernalia, I will smash it.
You'll take a pamphlet on Corswain.
Yeah, I will.
That's nice. I'm right there with you. I think that when Ascalon and Roldoran were first mentioned in the Blood Angel novels, I'm like, oh crap, got to check this out, you know, kind of thing. So relics. I didn't necessarily want to go off on a tangent on Ahmet, but I think it was. It's worth it. If you're not familiar with these characters, check them out. Icon of the Angel, I think, is the standout relic for me. And the bearer gains the following ability. Icon of the Angel aura. While a friendly Blood Angels unit is within 6 inches of this model, you can reroll charge rolls made for that unit. So when I remember I was going back and saying I wanted the Master of Sanctity on an Outrider bike because his base is so large. Well, now 6 inches away from that guy, getting rerolled a charge.
That seems pretty okay. I mean, I'm no expert, but you know, if you're only going to take one, that might be one to think
well,
about.
Well, given the Wise Orator Warlord trait, so he gets off his litanies easier, so he's going to give you the +2 to charge instead of the +1. +2 to charge and then a reroll with I don't know what the measurement is, but it's a wide thing. It's not six, you know, by the time you factor in the base and everything, you've got a pretty good radius of the units that he can buff with this ability. And I love it. I think this is going to be the go-to.
Yeah. I mean, the way I would play, I mean, I'm going to load up on Assault Intercessors and run them across the table. So, yes, that.
There's another neat one here, the Visage of Death. This is each time a melee attack is made with this unit. Against this unit, subtract 1 from that attack's hit roll. And then there's a secondary ability. The bearer gains this following ability, Visage of Death. While an enemy unit is within 3 inches of this model, it loses the objective secured ability and any similar abilities that allow it to control an objective marker, regardless of the number of enemy models within range of that objective marker.
Big oof.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's a big middle finger to some units.
It's weird, though, because if you're already up there with a beatstick character, and I do think you should take big beatstick characters. I don't think you should. I'm not just a big fan of taking just real support characters all the time. The Sanguinary Priest makes an exception because he just turns the people around him into buzzsaws of death. But shouldn't you just remove the models anyway, completely? Yeah.
That's always been kind of my concern. I've seen this sort of – this sort of ability shows up in a couple other things. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But I had the same thought then, was if the model that is capable of carrying this is going to – you're going to risk putting it into an OBSEC unit, it's probably already going to clean up that OBSEC unit, right? So the problem – that's the problem. But so when you think about it that way, when I think about this, I'm not going to send him alone. I'm going to be sending him with something else, because you either have to, if you're wanting to deny it, you're still going to want to have to knock that unit down to one model just to deny it. And then you're going to have to clean it completely off. If you just send him in and you don't kill every single model there, well, you're still not going to control it. And if you don't kill it down to one, OBSEC or not, he's still going to outnumber you and own that objective.
I think this relic is if it's it's situational. It's good, but it's situational. And so,
hey, isn't there? Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but isn't there a warlord trait or something where you can count yourself as a warlord as OBSEC? Is that a space marine
for space
rule
marines?
Or a salamander's rule?
It's the chat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's one for the salamanders. Oh, sorry. I think it's salamanders or white skies. They pick a unit and it becomes OBSEC, or I guess it's a super OBSEC. There's two things. The upgraded ancient can put out an aura of OBSEC or super OBSEC, as it may be. And also, I think it's a chapter master warlord trait. That when you upgrade someone to a chapter master, or is it just a regular warlord trait for all space marines? So something like that. It's a thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember it. Could you make a character OBSEC, give him this relic, and charge him in on something, shut down somebody's OBSEC, and own it while you sit there and kill them?
Yeah, I think with the depth of the space marine codex, I assume there'd be a way.
That would be so fun. I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. You have 40 guardsmen there. Here. Watch this, and just stand on it, fighting off like you got a touch of little nurglings or whatever on it. Cool, watch, boom, I own it now.
Yeah, exactly.
We have
right.
to figure this out, guys. We have to figure this out because it's going to be my new favorite thing.
There we go. Oh,
fine.
Well, hey, maybe it's got some more uses. So there's a Wrath of Baal. It's a standard Sanguinary Ancient model. Only the bearer gains the following ability: Wrath of Baal aura. While a friendly Blood Angels jump back unit is within 6 inches of this model, each time that unit is selected to make a normal move, advance, or fall back, add 2 to that unit's move characteristic until the end of the phase.
Paul, I think you've got one of those Sanguinary Ancients painted up already, too. So.
I do, of course.
There you go.
This is another one of those kind of like win more things, though. I don't know that you need this.
Are you starting with your Sanguinary Guard on the table or off the table?
On the table. Probably mostly on the table. Most of the time on the
okay.
table.
Okay. See, to me, if they're on the table, I probably don't need this. If I'm dropping them in, I definitely want that, right?
Why do you want that if you're... It's not to charge. It's just to move.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I completely read that wrong. Hey, pretend I didn't say that.
There you go.
Carry on. Yeah.
So there's a Thunderhammer D3. I'm sorry, damage 3. That's what I meant to say. No neg to swing.
I like that.
Not bad. Then there, and then going to the special issue war gear. There's actually some interesting things in the special issue war gear. I think one of the most interesting things to me is the Archangel Shard. Each time an attack made with this weapon is allocated to a model in a Chaos unit that attacks damage. So it's a +2 strength, -4 AP, -2 weapon. If you're swinging at something that's Chaos, it's -3. If you're swinging at something that's a Chaos monster, it's -4.
I like that because Chaos is broad enough that you're going to get a lot of play out of that.
Yeah, I think people are still attracted enough to playing Chaos. You will run into them once or twice in the tournament.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just find it. It's the Rites of War Warlord trait from the Basic Space Marine Codex. It reads, while a friendly chapter core or chapter character, so in case it would affect himself, is within 6 of this warlord, that unit has the objective secured ability. There you go.
So you could do it.
You can do it.
I want to do that. That is great.
There wasn't anything stopping people from getting affected by their own auras, was it?
No, only if it says affects core or something.
Exactly right. That was the stipulation.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, those are the biggest changes in some of the neat new things for Blood Angels. I mean, I'm happy with the list building options. I've had fun reading it. I think it's a good supplement. And it's right up there with Space Wolves and potentially Death Watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think
gleaming
it's right up
pinions.
There.
I like those gleaming pinions. Also, did you mention those? The jump pack.
I didn't mention them, but those aren't they're. I think they're the same as they have been, right?
I don't know the old book, so I don't know.
The gleaming pinions. The bear is eligible to charge into the turn in which it fell back, and you can reroll the charge made for the bear.
That's fun.
That is a special issue war gear. Yes, something else cool in there. Yep, but that's a holdover, or I should say, a carryover from Psychic Awakening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I never looked at that because, well, wrong angels.
Well, I'm pleased. I mean, as someone, you know, if this wasn't good, of course, I think I'd be disappointed. But I think it's good, and there's potential here that should give me brew options for the whole edition.
Yeah, knowing that you're happy with it makes me happy because that means it's good, right? But like, I think the best thing is that it's not coming across as overpowered. It's coming across as a more balanced book as opposed to what you had before.
You got to work harder for it to get some of these tricks off, And
yeah,
and it isn't. It's not just the like the two Smash captains and a couple of scout squads.
Yeah,
you're not going to see anymore. You're going to see a whole army.
I want to see Blood Angels armies, not three Blood Angels characters and some guardsmen. So I'm so pumped.
I think you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what they used to be. It used to be, cool. Your two Smash captains with enough CP did the work of a whole army.
Exactly. You didn't.
And
need
it wasn't. Else. It wasn't right.
It wasn't fun for anybody. I knew people who would go to tournaments. They're like, yeah, I hate it, but you know, it wins. It's
I could still play Blood Angels and then have the Smash captains do all the work, and I'd still feel like I was playing Blood Angels.
Well, the thing is, that's kind of how they are. You know, it's like those Smash captains, while cheesy as all get out, we're pretty thematic still. But, you know, it's kind of the sad thing about it.
Ben Guineas is still going to get some use. You know, I've got my Death Company painted up, Captain with Thunderhammer, Storm Shield, and I think he'll still get some use. But he's not going to be in every list now.
Yeah.
Which is a testament to a better supplement, I think.
Paul, I definitely think here what you should do is build like a good core of your army. And then get like one of those spinny wheels or a dartboard or something. Yeah, a dartboard. And just throw three darts for which HQ you're going to take each game. And I want to see how it works out. I think
I bet the win percentages will be alarmingly the same.
yeah, I do too. Because it's the best / worst part about it is you have a bajillion characters in there, and it's so hard to pick which ones to take because they all bring something to the table. I feel like they can really swing the feel of your army, like how your army's going to play. They can swing it a little bit, you know, to the left or right and give you variety in your army, even with the same models, just changing a few characters.
Well, I've been advocating Outriders for a long time. I think they're still incredibly strong and they are still strong. Yeah, like you could build that same archetype. Like you don't have to change anything. The Impulsors are still good. I mean, like there's, you know, Impulsors probably with Blade Guard. I'm actually waiting on the Blade Guard multi-pose or multi-part kit to come out before I up my squad up to 5.
Yeah.
But I think five Blade Guards and an Impulsor. Yeah. Building something around that.
I'm currently building. I've got them built. I've got 18 Blade Guards sitting here on my desk. And so I'm doing that. I don't know why. It's not going to win a lot, but it's going to be fun.
You might. I mean, 2+ armor save with lots of wounds and quality attacks.
Jumping them out of Impulsors. So I'm working on a list just because I wanted, like, you know how I get about Deathwing? I get my head in these modes. I want to see if I can go all in on something. And so it turned into this Blade Guard army. But they're too beautiful.
Tactics are you using?
Oh, right now, where I've been playing in Crusade, I've been talking about using them as salamanders. I know that's probably not the best route to go with this, but they have salamanders have like really good rules for making them stronger and more survivable.
Great. Whole army based around melters and flamers. And like, hey, let's give them swords and shields.
I'm going to do nothing with those abilities. So, but you know, who knows what I use them for once it's actually done, you know? So it's, we'll see. It'll be a fun project to play around with and experiment, but it's Blade Guard are too cool not to have on the table.
Well, gentlemen, I really appreciate y'all coming on and indulging me with the Blood Angels.
I'm happy for you, man. Like it's a weird thing to be so excited about something for someone else because I'm never building this army, but it's like this sense of relief that all my Blood Angels friends, and there's a lot of you all out there, are going to have something to be really happy with for the next couple of years. And
yeah,
so,
I think there's a lot of brew options here and we'll probably, you know, we'll see how this list plays, you know, gets torn apart or whatever, what works, what doesn't work. And then, you know, there's options, which is good. Yeah. I mean, I think I may play an all Dreadnought army.
Yeah. The downside to this though, is that because everything is good, there's not going to be that one list. So every week we have to hear Paul telling us about his new Blood Angels list. So there's a downside to this.
I'll try to take that to Twitter. I won't. Death Guard are apparently coming up pretty soon, and happy about Death Guard.
They gross me out. No thanks.
Yep. Well, guys, I hope you all have a good rest of y'all's evening. Please tune in and watch us on the live stream for the Noah Open Charitable Foundation. Come back next week. Like, share, and subscribe. I don't ask y'all to do that. Please leave us 5-star reviews no matter where you listen to us. Give us the max whatever you can. That's how other people help discover the show through that type of feedback and stuff. And then, yeah, if you're listening to us on YouTube, really thanks for all the comments. We have a pretty good discussion there every week. Y'all beautiful. Have a good night, guys.
Will do.
Night, everybody.
Night, boys.
Baby in the corner.